This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grady.
And we're inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. And with us is Sarah Hughes, singer, songwriter, and Fayetteville favorite.
Hello.
Hello. You'll be at the Fayetteville Library.
Across the street.
Yes.
On Sunday at 2.
19th, I think.
Yeah.
2 o'clock.
And just before we started this, you mentioned that you can sing in front of thousands of people, but sometimes talking is not some one of your favorite things to do?
Yeah, it's funny. I guess I've thought a lot about it, and I guess it's because when I'm singing, it's pretty much rehearsed. You know, I know the words. I know where I'm going. And when I have to talk in between songs, it's just so open, and it's tough. I don't know. I guess I get stage fright in a sense, but it's a lot harder for me to talk than it is to sing as far as being in front of a crowd.
Well, speaking of your voice, this you'll be able to answer a question I've had for some time since I first heard the song Bees, which is on the second CD of yours, No Seatbelt. That song starts with, it sounds like a young girl's voice.
Hey, look what I got. I've got a tape recorder.
Is that you?
That's me. That's actually me. My parents they bought me a little Fisher-Price tape recorder. I was probably maybe 6, I don't know, something like that. And we were going to pick up the babysitter, and I was really excited about it. So I was telling our babysitter that I'd gotten a tape recorder, and my mom, being a mom, you know, held on to this little brown Fisher-Price tape for, I don't know, 25 years. Recorded the second album, it was actually my drummer at the time had the idea to put that on at the beginning of the whole album, and I thought it was really cool. So yeah, we did it, and I think it's kind of interesting. It gets a lot of questions. A lot of people ask me if it's actually me, and it is.
Well, it sounds great. It's even better to know that's actually you, and not like you went and got some little girl to say that
it's me.
You were born in Memphis, grew up in Forest City.
Yes.
That's serious blues, Delta area. And now, your dad was a musician in bands. Did he grow up in the Memphis area?
Yes. I think both of my parents were born in Memphis. Most people, until recently, Forest City didn't have much of a hospital. I think it's gotten a lot better now, but most everyone would go to Memphis to have their babies and go to their doctors and things like that. So, yeah, it's pretty common for people in that eastern Arkansas area to, you know, be born in Memphis, and then, my parents both have grown up in Forest City and still are there now.
Let's see. So you went to Hendrix.
Mm-hmm.
Not as a music major.
No, I was actually an art major. I was huge into painting, drawing, and all that sort of thing for really until after I graduated. I don't know if I kind of got burned out or what the deal was, but I think I just was having more fun playing music, you know? It's just a more social thing, and it was, you know, I could still hang out with my friends, and sort of that was cool for me to be on stage singing and playing. But, yeah, I was a diehard artist for pretty much from when I was a very young kid until graduating college, and I sort of have let it go, but it's definitely in the back of my mind, and hopefully I'll pick it back up soon.
Well, how did you first decide that, okay, I'm going to get up on stage and play in front of people?
It really happened. I remember specifically I was a freshman at Hendrix, and the person that I was at, my roommate, had this killer voice, like classically trained soprano. I mean, you could throw a penny at the wall and she could harmonize with it. I mean, she's really, really good. And I was sitting there goofing around one day, and I think I was singing maybe Down by the River or something like that. And she just kind of chimed in, and I was like, whoa, that actually sounds really good. And I think having her as a backup singer or a harmony vocal singer kind of gave me the confidence to get on stage rather than being all by myself, which that can be scary still. But having her with me and just having that backup vocal really gave me more of a confidence than I had before. And we did a couple of – we had a coffee house. It was like a – kind of like a talent show at Hendrix. And we did that several times. And then slowly I started getting the nerve to get up by myself after – she was a year ahead, so she graduated. And then I was kind of by myself. So that's when I started playing solo stuff and – I, you know, do stuff with some buddies. And but yeah, really, I guess it would be 2001 is when I kind of branched out on my own.
You eventually got enough confidence to move to New York City.
Yeah, that was interesting. I actually moved with a good friend of mine who helped me write several of the songs on the first album, Southern Savage. It was kind of that phase, I guess, a lot of people have it after you've graduated college and you kind of don't know what you're going to do. So we moved to, I guess, Colorado for a couple of months in the summer and just goofed off. And she and two of our other good friends from college were going to New York. And I was like, well, I don't really have anything else to do. So I guess I'll go with y'all. And, I mean, it was a blast. We had so much fun. I did some open mic nights in the East Village and, you know, different things here and there. And it was one of the biggest thrills I can ever remember is after playing two or three songs in New York, a little girl from Arkansas, and the crowd, like, stood up and just cheered. It was so, so cool. But, yeah, I don't know. The New York thing was just a little more than I was really up for. I mean, it was fun for 4 or 5 months, but then I was like, I'm kind of ready to go back to Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Well, the song Southern Savage takes place in New York.
Yeah.
And you have this lyric, five people in four rooms.
Right.
Is that?
It's all true. Pretty much everything in that song is true.
Traveled to Central Mexico, lived a little bit in Colorado, lived in New York City. Didn't you go to Austin for a bit?
I did recently. I think it was like maybe 2007, I want to say. I don't know. I was getting pressure from a lot of different people. You really need to go to Austin, check it out. You know, I think you'd fit in so well. So I did, and I liked it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Austin was super cool. I had a blast. But I honestly, I miss Fayetteville terribly. I miss my friends, and I had some friends in Austin, but it still just wasn't like it never really felt like home for me. So, and honestly, it's hard to make a living playing music in Austin. You know, it's a whole lot more difficult.
There's a musician basically on every corner.
They're everywhere, and they're all pretty decent.
Maybe there's an advantage to performing in a smaller area versus. I mean, you went to New York, you went to Austin, but everybody there's trying to get a gig.
Yeah, it's know? There's just a whole lot of competition, especially in Austin. That's kind of the mecca for live music, or that's what they like to brag about. But I mean, it was so much fun. There's tons to do, and it is so cool. But I'd rather just go there to visit, honestly. I'd rather have Fayetteville as my home base, you know, and I can stay busy up here and, you know, make a decent living and have fun, and my family's close, and Austin's always going to be there, you know. You can always go visit, but this is where I want to stay, I think.
Sunday, are you playing solo, or do you have the band with you?
I have my trio. I have Michael Garrett, Stingray from Mountain of Venus, and Dave Josualdo, who's also from Mountain of Venus originally. But those are kind of my core group of guys, and so we're going to set up over there. And they're both so talented, you know. We sometimes do have a lead guitar player who, usually it's Teddy Sablon. But we sometimes have other guests sit in. But I thought for that environment, it would be kind of appropriate just to do the broken down, you know, just the roots. So, and they're both so good. Dave is an incredible bass player. He actually plays lead on the bass a lot. Between my harmonica and his lead on the bass, you know, we pretty much fill in the gaps where a lead guitar player would be. So it works out really well. And sometimes it's even a little more gratifying just because it's so broken down and so basic. It's just really, really gets to the core of it. And I kind of like that, especially for things like this, you know.
Do you guys know what you're going to play yet?
We haven't written a set list, but I usually am in charge of that. Or we'll get together right before the show and, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of jot something down. A lot of times we will, you know, get the first five songs and kind of leave it open. Because a lot of times, you know, the song that you play is going to depend on the crowd and how crowded it is. And if they're up dancing, you know, you don't want to play your slow song then. So we like to kind of leave it open and have like a master list, and we'll kind of pick from that as we go. But we usually do have at least the first five picked out, you know. So
Southern Savage came out in 2005. No Seat Belt a couple years later.
Yes.
Plan?
I know. I know where you're going. It's time.
Curious.
And we definitely are thinking about it. My move to Austin kind of threw a kink in things as far as our recording schedule. But we've been talking about it a lot, and we've got five or six new songs that will definitely go on the album, and we're really looking to get started on it soon. We've been doing some research, and we've got a couple studios we're going to visit here in the next week or two and try to really get that going as soon as possible, because I'm well aware it is time for a third album. I think about it every day, and we're definitely going to get on that real, real soon.
So. On Sunday, will people get to hear one or two of the new songs?
Sure, sure. We've been playing... we haven't played all of them like on a regular basis, but we've got a couple of them that we particularly like, so we'll definitely play those on Sunday.
Sunday at 2 at Fayetteville Public Library, yeah. You and the trio?
Yes, me and Dave and Stingray. We'll be there.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah.
Yeah.
That's the title track from Sarah's 2007 CD release, No Seatbelt. It's available at her website, sarahhughesmusic.com. You can also find it at iTunes. Sarah Hughes will perform for free Sunday afternoon beginning at 2 at the Fayetteville Public Library as part of the library's Mountain Street Stage Music Series every Sunday in June. This is Ozarks at Large.